www.drivesmarterchallenge.org.
You hungry? Breakfast? Me? You? Huh?
WOL Washington, D.C. W240DJ Washington. 95.9 WMMJ HD3 Bethesda. WKYS HD3 Washington. WPRS HD3 Waldorf and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnold.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via all Igniting Change with Barbara Arnold, platforms by host Barbara Arnold Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh my gosh, do we have a good show for you today, because things are happening. You've been following all these elections. You've been watching, you know, all this craziness of, you know, people pretending that they had huge black audiences of, you know, clapping and yelling and not being true. I mean, the lies have already started, but that's not what we're going to talk about today, because today we're going to really focus in on what we call the two sides of justice, the injustice that's happening in some of the courts, and the beautiful justice, the radical, imaginative justice of Governor Westmore of Maryland. So we're going to come around to all of that. But you know, before I can start any show, we got to get on our amazing co-host. You know who I'm talking about, the mighty Daryl Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara, it must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time, because we're talking about igniting change. My goodness, Barbara, today's show, we're talking about igniting all kinds of change. Igniting change not just in the courtroom now, but igniting change with people's vote, because they voted in, Barbara, our governor, Wes Moore, who is just showing the nation the difference that your vote can make in terms of who you put in office and the results you get when you put your type of person in office, Barbara. My goodness, what a great show we're going to have.
Yes, and you know what's amazing about Wes Moore is that he is a new tradition of African-American leaders. You know, for years we've had a couple of African-American governors in the last, you know, number of years, a number of decades, I should say. But what is, you know, really remarkable is that most of those governors and a lot of elected officials are afraid to say that they stand for justice for African Americans. And Wes Moore is different. As a governor of an entire state, he's saying part of my responsibility is to make sure that there's justice for African Americans. Well, sadly, some of the courts have not caught up with that needed, amazing, you know, trend line. And one of the things that we want to talk about today is the horrific ongoing consequences of the 11th Circuit's ruling in the Fearless case. And all of you been writing us, talking about it, blowing up social media, you know, and raising, you know, really important questions about what does this case mean. So last week we talked about the case some, but we got to come back to it again. And this time we brought to you someone who has been really intensely engaged in making this case, and making this case as fair as possible, you know, fought for a good ruling. And whatever the result was, wasn't because there wasn't, you know, incredible advocacy by lawyers. And I am so happy to have on our show today from the mighty Lawyers Committee for civil rights and the law, where I used to be the president and continue to, just exclaim and be so proud of the work being done by Damon Hewitt, who is the current president, and all of the brilliant staff of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and the Law. And we have with us today their deputy chief counsel, who is attorney Darley Rodriguez. She works closely with the president and executive director, managers, and staff to provide strategic guidance for litigation and advocacy projects that advance racial justice. She serves on the organization's senior leadership team and plays a key role in supporting synergy and integration across the organization's practice areas and overseeing the professional development of the organization's legal staff. That's no short order. We are so happy to welcome to Igniting Change for her inaugural appearance on our show, attorney Darley Rodriguez. Hi,
Barbara. Hi, Darrell. It's so good to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time to be with us. We know how incredibly busy. How many lawyers are there now at the Lawyers Committee?
Gosh, our staff is up to 80, and a big part of them are attorneys. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yep. See, folks, that just shows you how wonderful a job, Kristen Clark and the mighty Damon Hewitt have done in building the staff and all the good work that's going on. And tell people, for those who don't know, because it's been a long time since we've talked about the Lawyers Committee on this show, tell people what the Lawyers Committee does. It's incredibly wonderful, genesis, and its incredible role that it plays in the civil rights litigation movement.
Sure. Yes, I stand on your shoulders, Barbara, as well as on the shoulders of Kristen and Damon and so many other leaders. Incredibly grateful for all of your contributions to this movement. And the Lawyers Committee, I've been here since 2016. And for the past 60 years, this is an organization that has fought for racial justice in and outside of the courts, to ensure that Black people have the voice, opportunity, and power that they need to make promises of our democracy real. We are an organization that was started by President John F. Kennedy in 1963 as a call to the attorneys in private practice to leverage their resources to tackle discrimination impacting Black communities and communities of color at the height of the civil rights movement. And it is a mission that continues to be very much alive today. We are celebrating 60 years since the passage of the Civil Rights Act, and our mission could not be more important in this moment as we are facing relentless attacks to civil rights, particularly civil rights for Black communities and communities of color. So really thrilled to be on here to talk about the work that we're doing. And again, so, so incredibly grateful for all of your contributions.
No, thank you. And we would be remiss to this nation if we didn't pay tribute to one of the stalwarts that made the Lawyers Committee happen. And that is last week, many of you were tweeting and taking acknowledgement of the life of Megger Evers. And most people don't know that when Megger Evers was slain for all of his incredible advocacy for voting rights, that President Kennedy and his brother Robert Kennedy were so disturbed by that particular violence and that act of murderous hate and the effort to stop racial justice, that they actually convened. They used that as the impetus for convening what would become a group of lawyers that would form the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and the Law. So gotta give some love to Merrilee Evers, to all the Evers family, to his continuing a legacy. And Daryl, I know that means a lot to you also. You know, as we look around the country, you know, at this fight, and isn't it beautiful to be able to, you know, continue that legacy as we will be doing with the John Lewis days. But we'll talk about that soon. But let's get into this case, right, Daryl? We want to talk about this horrific case. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Darlie, we've had a chance last week to talk to our audience some about the Fearless Fund case, but could you sort of just give a real brief synopsis, if you would, as to what the Fearless Fund case did in practical terms, and you know, not lawyer terms, but for the everyday person, what does this case mean?
Sure. So this is a case that was brought by an organization called AAER, and they are the ones who are behind the litigation against the affirmative action programs in Harvard and UNC. And they brought this case against the Fearless Fund, and Fearless Fund is an organization led by Black women, an investment firm that is committed to funding organizations led by Black women. And they engaged in a contest to provide grants, funding to organizations led by Black women and women of color, because they realized that Black women and women of color, their businesses receive a minuscule amount of the funding, of investment funding. So they created this organization specifically with the purpose of investing in those businesses to help create a more level playing field. We know that businesses owned by Black women and women of color face substantial barriers in accessing capital. We know that they still face high rates of discrimination by investment funders. They are having a really hard time getting more revenue and more capital. And so the Fearless Fund was created specifically to address that issue. Plaintiffs filed a case alleging discrimination under Section 1981. And Section 1981 is one of our oldest civil rights laws. It was passed after during the Reconstruction era, after Black people became free. And it was designed to provide full rights to newly freed Black people, to ensure that they had the right to contract, enter into contracts as white people. So it was a statute that was designed with a clear race-conscious remedy, with a racial-conscious intent. And this is the law that our opponents are weaponizing to target programs that are meant to remedy past and ongoing discrimination faced by Black communities. We recently saw that there was a ruling by the 11th Circuit, and what that ruling said is that the preliminary injunction against the program can hold until the litigation continues. So right now what will happen is that the case has been remanded to the district court level for it to continue on the merits. That's what we're expecting may happen. We're continuing to monitor the case very closely. Of course, we were very disappointed by the ruling. We disagree with the ruling. We believe that the Fearless Fund, that the purpose of the program is a remedial one. It's, their goal is to ensure that Black women have the capital that they need to run their businesses. And we filed an amicus brief both at the district court level and at the circuit court level. And we're going to continue fighting to ensure that programs like this can continue to exist, because we know that our communities need them.
Wow. When we look at the judges
please.
That were listening, that were hearing this case, the Fearless Fund case, it's a three-judge panel. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And could you share with our audience, because this is, I think, important here, Barbara. I mean, we know that, you know, it's less than 1% of all the venture capital funds that go, less than 1% that go to Black women and Black women-owned businesses. And we know that, you know, this isn't just the Fearless Fund that's affected by this, but every private company that puts together some type of 501c4 that's dedicated and focused on helping Black women businesses, they are all potentially impacted. But Darryl, could you talk about, you know, those three judges that were sitting there? Who appointed them, and do you believe that's significant?
Yeah, and you were speaking earlier about voting rights and why voting rights are so important. And I think that this is another reason that we have to continue lifting up the importance of getting out on Election Day, because we know that President Biden has made significant progress in